The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. As always, we have a great show lined up for you today. The call is free, as always, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. We'd love to answer any questions that you have. And again, thank you, whether or not you're getting ready to go into work out there in the West Coast or whether or not you're taking your lunch break over there on the East Coast. We're excited that you took the time out to watch and listen to us today. Today we're going to be talking about how to talk money with your spouse with financial expert and good friend Christopher Hogan. He'll be on talking, giving us some great advice on how do you talk money. I love this quote from Wayne Dyer. He says that successful people make money. It's not that people who make money become successful, but that successful people attract money and they bring success to what they do. Now, obviously, most of us get married for love and a desire to see our marriages successful, but unfortunately, the number one reason for divorce is usually over money-related issues, not having enough of it or not being in agreement on how to use it. So we need to change this trend. So today, Chris is going to be giving us some really great advice on how to do that. Later on, I also have a great audio from the Skit Guys who's going to be talking about the marriage promise. For those of you that are married or dating, you remember all the promises and all the love and all the things that went into, oh, I love you, or I'm going to commit my life to you. And for those of you that have been married for a while, it seems like something's happened between I do, into actually doing it. And so it's a great clip that I think is going to be very insightful and hopefully lead us into this conversation today to strengthen our marriages today. And then Tony Dungy, Super Bowl winning coach, is going to be sharing some advice to divorced dads today on how we can stay engaged and involved in our kids' lives even through divorce. And so again, you don't want to miss 1 minute of today's show. If you happen to have to bounce off or do something, don't forget, you can always go ahead and subscribe and find us on iTunes. That way, no matter where you go on your iPhone, iPad, no matter wherever iTunes is, you can take the Freddie Scott Show with you. Well, in the world of sports, a lot of big news going on today. Of course, it's NBA playoff time, and we had the Knicks with a one-point victory over the Hawks. You had Oklahoma City going down to the Lakers in double overtime. Detroit beats Toronto in a game that, of course, hopefully did not make any networks. I think that was outside of, I know you, those in the Detroit market probably are mad at me for that, but 76-73 against the Raptors is probably I could have had a good nap watching that game. LeBron James came back and led the Heat in the victory over the Rockets, and of course we had just the Clippers actually winning, keeping pace with the Lakers there. But if you happen to be home and watch, or hopefully you had a chance to watch SportsCenter, Meta World Peace probably did one of the most Bush League plays that I have seen since his incident in the Palace years ago. Now, if you didn't see it, you need to go ahead and go on SportsCenter, go ahead and YouTube it. I'm sure it's already out there. Meta World Peace threw a huge, vicious elbow, almost like he was an MMA fighter. What happened was there's a fast break play. He makes this great dunk, you know, splitting two defenders and makes this left-handed dunk and starts beating his chest like, you know, the crowd's all into it. It's only a one-point game, 48-47, and the Lakers are only down by one. You know, all this momentum is going in the Lakers' favor. And James Harden, you know, who is going back on the play, you know, ends up bumping into him just a little bit. Just, you know, it wasn't even like a bump, like he was trying to shove him. But, you know, Artest was heading back on defense, and Harden was going back to be ready for the inbounds pass to bring it back up. And Meta World Peace throws probably, if he was an MMA fighter, I would say you need to go ahead and sign him up, because he knocked him out. Hit him almost in the temple, right in the back of the ear, and he was laid out. Now, I have not seen a guy. Now, I grew up during the bad boy era with the Detroit Pistons, went to high school there in Detroit, was there, you know, during that 89-90 era, 91, where, you know, you had Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, John Sally, you had, you know, the Worm, Dennis Rodman, back before he went crazy and dyeing his hair and the tattoos and the earrings. You had lockdown defender and Joe Dumars, and they had just that whole mentality of rough, rugged basketball, and you're not going to go in our lane to win a game. But you know what? As hated as the Pistons may have been around the league from the standpoint of, you know what, we want to beat those guys, and as hard of fouls those guys, you know, did when you drove the lane, you weren't getting a layup. You know, that was during an era where you don't lay up. You're not dunking when you come in the paint. You're going to earn your 2 points at the free throw line. But at the end of the day, it was done. It was a basketball play. It was a rough basketball play. I didn't go after your head. It was just a hard foul. And it was kept within the framework of the game. And for some reason, you know, Meta World Peace, of course, he had done this great job of trying to, you know, change his name, and now I'm World Peace and not Ron Artest, and he goes on Dancing with the Stars to try to rehabilitate his entire perception after everything that he went through back years ago with that riot at the Palace. And now to see him go that far outside the scope of the game, to go and literally take someone out the game. I'm sorry, if you can't beat somebody, you know, it's one thing, okay, a rough foul, hard foul, okay, and maybe, you know, your finger got a little hurt, but it's something else when you almost try to give somebody a concussion and he has to be out the game for concussion-like symptoms because you elbow him to the temple. Now, you might be a Laker fan, and you might like, obviously, the team, it was actually a great game. If you had a chance to watch the game, it was a great game, but he didn't have to do that. And actually hearing some of the commentary from even Magic Johnson to say that even as a former Laker, he's embarrassed over what the guys are doing today and representing the league and representing the Laker brand, it's just sad. Last year you had Bynum in the playoffs against Barea do just another Bush League play. You know, here he is, a 7-foot guy, almost 300 pounds, and did a totally uncalled for foul and play on Barea last year in the playoffs because he was frustrated. And now you have this year, Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace, going off and elbowing a guy. Now, of course, he should be suspended. If you have not seen this, I don't care if you're a Laker fan or not, this guy needs to be suspended, not only for this last game, but he should also see some time away also in the playoffs. You know, this was totally uncalled for. Not only should he be fined, but there should be some suspensions here, because, again, you have to be able to, as a league, Commissioner Stern needs to be able to make a statement about, hey, if you cross this line, you better think twice about crossing it over again. And any other teammate, I mean, I think this Oklahoma City Thunder really, even though they lost the game, from a composure standpoint, They really kept their composure, because I don't know about you, but if you go and you cross the line and you cheap shot one of my guys, it's very easy to want to go ahead and retaliate, and for them to be able to show the composure to not go ahead and retaliate, to not jeopardize one of their key team members, to threaten suspension as a result of retaliating against the Lakers in any way, that really showed a lot of poise. And remember, this is a young team. They haven't won a championship before. Yes, they're vying for a number one seed, you know, but they showed a lot of composure by not retaliating. Of course, Kobe and the Lakers ended up winning this game. But I think that this is really going to hurt the Lakers long term, because not only was this just a Bush League play, but Ron Artest was actually playing some really good basketball up until this point. He's actually on the offensive end. He's been putting in some really solid numbers as his solid number three or four option between Kobe, Powell, Bynum. Artest was right there putting in consistently 15 to 20 points a game, a strong defender, able to go against probably the best offensive guy that another team would have. If he is out for any considerable amount of time, depending upon who they are matched up with, and as it stands now in the standings, I'm pulling up the rankings as we speak, depending upon who they're matched up against, it might make it very, very difficult for them to get out of that first round, because it's not like the Lakers are this dominant team like they have been in the past, where they can pretty much skate past the first round and just look to the second round. At this point, it's a toss-up, and it's really going to be dependent upon who they're matched up with, and that one elbow could cost the Lakers the opportunity to move on in the playoffs. Now, again, you're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. I am so excited about the show. Chris Hogan's going to be calling in pretty soon. We're going to be talking about how to talk money with your spouse. Let's get guys have a great a skit for us later on in the show, where we're going to be able to talk about and remember and reflect back on those moments when we first got married. And it's a really, really cool thing. And, of course, you don't want to miss Coach Dungy's advice. Any of you that may be divorced and you're away from your kids, it's really, really important to be able to know, how can I stay engaged with my family? Now, one other thing that was in the news that I saw this earlier today, I get these emails from this website called change.org, and it was really, really interesting that in the tagline it says that the police arrested a six-year-old girl. Yeah, a six-year-old girl. Celicia Johnson is 6 years old, and on April 13th, her teacher said that she had a temper tantrum in class. But instead of putting her in timeout or taking her or sending her to the principal's office, the school called the police on a six-year-old girl, handcuffed her, charged her with battery, a six-year-old girl, a girl most likely in kindergarten, and the police and kept the police in custody for an hour before her parents found out what was going on. Now, although the charges have been dropped, she does now have a police record, and this is the thing that got me, that the child now says that Celicia has been traumatized by this experience. She's afraid to return to school and recently woke up in the middle of the night saying, "They're coming to get me." Now, you tell me this. Can you tell me what type of educational environment we're sending our kids to, where they're supposed to be focused on learning, and now we have this child? I don't care if kids have temper tantrums, but I don't know about you, but you know, if a kid has a temper tantrum, usually they're trying to decide, you know, or see what lines they can cross. But a teacher that is trained and certified and licensed should be able to control the classroom. And even if it was a troubled kid, someone within that school should be able to handle that without it having to actually de-escalate it to calling the police on a six-year-old. I want to hear your thoughts on that. When we come back after the break, Chris Hogan is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking, how do you talk money with your spouse. Also, we're going to hear from the Skit Guys and reflecting back on marriage issues and remembering what were your thoughts and the promises that you gave your spouse when you said, I do. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you once again for joining us. And I'm a little fired up. That story, if you just joined us, I was sharing a story about that I just received in an email about a young 6-year-old girl who was in class and ended up getting charged with battery for having a temper tantrum, and the police came and actually put her in handcuffs. I'm going to post that on Twitter with a link so you can be able to read that for yourself. And I'm a little fired up. Being a dad and having a kid that's 6 myself, I couldn't imagine what that would feel like if I was one of those parents. Well, changing gears, many of us remember those of you that are married, your wedding day and the promises and the future that you have laid out for yourself and the dreams that you had together. And listen to this clip as we reflect back not only on that wedding day, but also the transition that takes place when you get back from the honeymoon. Listen to this.
I promise to love, honor, and respect you.
I promise to love, cherish, and protect you.
From this day forward.
Till death do us part.
I remember our wedding day. It was awesome. I mean, my dress was gorgeous, and all of the flowers were so beautiful. And everybody that I loved was there, you know, all of my family, and the day was just amazing. I mean, it was good. It was really, really good. And there was this moment right before I walked down the aisle, and I remembered looking up to God and just feeling so thankful for this man that he had given me.
I was scared to death. Seriously, I thought I was going to pee my pants. I mean, I don't usually get in front of people like that, let alone wearing a tux. Come on. I forgot to go to the bathroom before the ceremony started, and I kept thinking, don't pee yourself, and don't lock your knees, and keep breathing. And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and there she was. She took my breath away. And I never wanted it back.
Our honeymoon was amazing. I mean, we went to a tropical island, and it was just a whole week of relaxing, and we got to walk on the beach a lot and just spend time together. We were just so in love.
We went to the street vendors, you know, and we were looking around at stuff, and we didn't have a lot of money, but I picked up this amber necklace, and I put it up against her skin, and I knew she had to have it because she was worth it. And then we went home.
Once we got home, it was like something strange started to happen. I mean, it was like aliens came into our bedroom, scooped out his brain, and filled it with gummy bears. Honey, are those your dirty dishes in the sink?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know we have a dishwasher, right?
What? Yeah, and you're really good at it too, sweetheart. Could you not interrupt me when I'm watching TV? Or at least wait till commercial?
You see what I mean? Gummy bears.
After the honeymoon, I had a sneaking suspicion that she was sneaking out at night and taking night classes at some college on some foreign language because everything she said made zero sense.
Do you like this shirt on me?
Yeah, looks good.
So you don't like the color?
What?
If you don't like the color, just say you don't like the color. I mean, I don't even know why I try to look nice for you.
Wait, what just happened here?
Why don't you think I'm pretty?
Why? Well, hold on. I do think you're pretty.
Well, you never say it.
I'm sorry. I think you're pretty.
Well, you can't say it now. I just told you to say it. I mean, that totally doesn't even count.
But wait, how am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to say unless you tell me what I'm supposed to say?
I can't believe you don't love me anymore. I wonder some days what I ever saw in him.
Did you know, in the mornings when she wakes up, her breath will melt your face off.
He farts and then holds my head under the covers. That's not okay.
Honestly, I'm a little scared because I think I might have married my mother.
Well, I wouldn't have to act like his mother if he didn't act like a child. I mean, close the refrigerator door, pick up your shoes, take out the garbage. Seriously, how hard is it to obey?
She can't cook. I think she's slowly trying to poison me with her food.
Okay, two words. Road rage.
Two words. Shopaholic.
Have I mentioned he still has his comic book collection from junior high?
Did I mention that she still makes fun of me for having a comic book collection from junior high?
He's addicted to television.
She's addicted to purses. And I don't understand this, but for some reason, she manages to lose every purse she owns in the house. Seriously, how hard is it to lose something this big?
I thought we were supposed to be on the same team.
I'm still on the same team. Apparently you defected, started playing for some other team that you made up in your mind.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, you don't make any sense.
Well, your gummy bears don't make any sense.
Oh, you're stupid.
Well, you're stupid.
Well, you made me this way. Gah! I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. The purpose of marriage isn't to make us happy.
It's to make us holy, as we become more like Him.
I promise to love, honor, and respect you as you become more like Him.
And I promise to love, cherish, and protect you as you grow to become more like Him.
Like Him.
Just like Him.
It's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy, but it is good. And anything that good is always worth fighting for.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Many of us could easily see ourselves during that conversation. And right now, I want to bring on my good friend and financial coach and expert, Christopher Hogan. Chris, welcome to the Freddie Scott Show.
Hi, good afternoon, Freddie. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us again today. We have a few hot buttons here, and obviously, when you listen to that audio clip and people remember their wedding day and the hope and the promise that they have, but then you get to actually living life and you having to adjust to, you know, different personalities and habits and everything else and how you think of money and how you think we should spend money, and when you look at typically the number one reason for divorce is over money issues, not having enough of it or not being in agreement on how to use it. And so from your background and experience, you know, can you see a lot of strife and drama, or have you seen it in your circle doing what you do? How many people are struggling and see all that friction and fighting as a result of money?
Oh, Freddie, I see it a lot, and you hit the nail on the head, as you said, that money is the number one cause for divorce. And, you know, whenever there's not enough money, there's added pressure there, and there's frustration. But if you get two people who aren't on the same page, who are both frustrated, now that anxiety and all that irritation is going to come out. And it's going to lead them away from working together, which you have to do to win with money.
Now, when you think about this, people are frustrated, they're mad, they're venting, not excited about where they are in life, maybe thought they should be further ahead in life. And instead of really deciding on how do I come together and how do we come together to accomplish these goals, start really taking it out on each other. So are there any key things that a husband and wife can do? Because I guarantee you right now there's somebody listening right now who has just had a fight with their wife about money, or their wife is nagging him about how he spends money, or she is up to here with how he always spends money. Is there a first step that a couple can take if there's been strife, drama about money? Is there a first step that a couple can take?
I think the very first step, Freddie, that a couple should take is say, I'm sorry. It's just learning how to apologize. I'm sorry. And that can mean a lot, because a lot of times we can say things when we're in the heat of the moment and we're frustrated and we're irritated about something else, but we bring that anxiety in onto a person, just like you talked about. And so by saying I'm sorry, you apologize if you've said something you shouldn't have said, or you said it in a way that hurt their feelings, because at the end of the day, our feelings are our own. So if we can apologize and then really sit down and look at the true heart of the issue. The issue is, yes, we did think we would be further along, or we thought we should be working better together. Then let's start to work together. Let's start to talk about the dreams and the goals you have together. Talk about the things that unite you, not the things that divide you.
Now, when we come back after the break, I want us to sort of pick that up right there, if you don't mind, because so many people tend to focus on the past. They focus on the fight. They focus on how they felt or how the other person made them feel when they said that. And then when you stay in that place, typically you're going to stay in that place because I'm going to just retaliate back and forth. You said this to me, so I'm going to say this back to you. And so you have this circuit or this circle of frustration and arguing. And I'm speaking to men now, that if that's the case of where you find yourself and find your spouse and find your communication with your spouse, as the leader of your home, it's our responsibility to break that cycle. When we come back after the break, Chris, I want you to help us break that cycle and then help us frame up how do you paint that picture and create the vision on where do we go from here in creating the financial future for our family. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. And don't forget, you can call right now. The call is free, 888-346-9144, 888-346-9144. If you have drama with your wife, if you've got beef against your husband, you know, call in, ask your question, or just share sort of what your story is. And we've got financial coach and expert Chris Hogan. I'm here. We'd love to be able to hear your story and be able to help us move forward as we're continuing to build our and strengthen our marriages across the country. Now, Chris, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, how so many couples, they're in that place of fighting and frustration, and how do you break that cycle of being mindful of how my spouse is feeling, caring about how my spouse is feeling about that, not just being so consumed with where I am in this, and starting to build the restoration necessary to be able to have the conflict resolved. So how do we do that? How do we navigate that difficult process? Because sometimes people cross the line when they get upset. There's sometimes you cross that, you said that thing that you knew that they told you that deep dark secret, and then you turned around and said something in the heat of the moment that really crushed them because you were so mad. And now they're so upset and disappointed. So all that stuff is going on, but we need to get this stuff right because our money is jacked up right now. So how do we do that, Chris?
I think, you know, Freddie, the first thing you have to do is you have to be careful with our words. You talk about men and leading in the home. Our words have power. And we have to remember that we pledged in front of God to honor, obey, and protect our spouse. And so that's with our words as well as our actions. And so we have to be careful here. And if you've done something and you've said it wrong and you've hurt feelings, you got to learn how to apologize. And I don't mean just the cursory, I'm sorry, and that they need to get over it. You know, we've done that. You know, I'm sorry. I told you I'm sorry. You ought to be done. Well, no, hold on now. I'm talking about the heartfelt and look in the eyes, in a nice tone, a heartfelt tone saying I'm sorry and apologizing and asking them for forgiveness is the second side of that. The money battles, the money issues, I found they happen because people only wait and talk about money when there's a problem. And so if you're only talking about it when there's a problem, the mere mention of the subject gets everyone's blood pressure up. So we got to learn how to talk about it when things aren't going well and when they're going well. So that's establishing the habit of communication. Just to be able to talk about what are our hopes and our dreams, and we've resound together to get there for the sake of our family and for the sake of our children, and we can do this if we choose to.
Now, here's a question, because I'm thinking back growing up, you know, at home or with my grandparents. I don't remember ever hearing a conversation about money. I've never, you know, I remember seeing my parents sit down, okay, here's our budget, here's what we're going to do, here's what, you know, usually that was the part of the life that was just hidden away. Yeah, it was never talked about openly, unless you saw them fighting over it, you know. But
right.
I don't recall ever seeing that model, and I remember just recently I was at a conference speaking, and we asked that question to all the participants there, a lot of NFL players. And everyone said the same thing. Says, well, who taught you how to handle money? And everyone said, well, I guess I just had to wing it because no one ever showed me how to talk about it, how to handle it. I just figured this is what you do. So is there a way to talk about money if you've never seen someone talk about money before?
I think it is, and I agree with what you're saying, because if we've left to ourselves to figure it out, and the husbands and wives, they get married. And so the husband's child had to figure it out on his end, and the spouse's wife is figuring it out on their end. Now you got two separate methods automatically being merged together. And so the way to talk about it is to sit down and say, okay, what are we bringing in? How much money is coming into the checking account? What do we owe? And that's sitting down looking at those things. Our rent is this much, or our mortgage is this much, our utilities. And to begin to talk about it in a non-confrontational way to figure out, okay, if this is what we have to pay, then this is the amount of money we have left over. Where are we going to tell it to go? And so that proactive type of relationship and communicating about it is helpful. Now, if you don't know where to go from there, you know, definitely email me. I've got some quick tips to be able to help people get started.
Wow. Because, you know, what you said is really, really important. A lot of the things that I'm sure from your angle as a financial coach, there's certain assumptions that we just assume people know. We assume people know their budget. We assume people know how much money is coming into the checking account. How many people actually check their pay stubs to make sure that the amount they're supposed to get paid is exactly what they got paid, and that the deductions, the medical or their 401k deduction or whatever, to make sure that that is correct? I mean, this was actually something that just happened yesterday. My brother-in-law just had his junior prom, and so it was all the woo-woo, the tux, all that stuff. And so we helped out and, you know, renting the car and all that. And so we went and returned the car to the car rental place. And what ended up happening was, you know, usually you go, you turn in the keys, and, you know, you just get the bill because you were told what the quote was supposed to be, and you return it within the time frame, and so you pretty much know what the bill is. Well, my wife, being the person that she is, always double checks to make sure that what you told me you were going to bill me is exactly what I'm going to get billed. And come to find out that the person, the company, I'm not going to say the company tried to charge us in a whole extra day because they said the car was supposed to be back, say, at like 1:15 in the afternoon. My wife was in line at 1:15, but there was a line in front of her, so by the time she got to the counter, it was like 1:25. They try to charge her a whole extra day.
Oh.
But she caught it because she asked for a copy of the bill. Now, how many people, we're talking about money and communication, how many people actually do that, are checking their pay stub, are checking their monthly bills, or are we just blindly writing checks and just hopefully somehow, some way, it's all just going to work out, and as long as the lights stay on and there's food in the pantry, you know, everything's okay? How do you do that? If somebody's not doing that, what's the first thing we need to do to make sure we're managing our budget properly so we can talk to our spouse about where we really are?
Well, and you just said it. You can't manage something you're not aware of. So if we're not looking and knowing how much is coming in, you know, I ask a lot of people, well, how much do you make each year? And they'll tell me, $50,000 is my salary. Well, $50,000 is not what you're bringing home. You've got these other deductions. You have things happening. I need you to be able to tell me, you know, I've got $3,000 a month going, or each pay period going into my checking account or whatever that is. I need people to know the money that's coming in so they can begin to manage it. Then you have to sit down and you figure out, okay, where are we going to go from here? If this is where we have, if this is the dollar amount that we have, what do we have to take care of? And so you begin to talk about this openly. See, people get frustrated and irritated, and they shut down. You know, you have too many people that have pronoun problems. They'll say, well, I make this, and you make that. The first thing you have to do working as a family is get rid of those singular pronouns and start to talk we.
Uh-oh. Now, you know, you just went and meddled in some people's business right now. Because, you know, there are some men who feel like, well, I'm the one that went out to work, and I'm the one that gets paid. Now, that paycheck, that says my name. And then she's got that paycheck, and she said, I went out, and I made this, and this is my play money, and this is what I'm doing. And I wasn't in college. We weren't together when you earned all those college bills and gotten all that debt. You was with her when you did that, or you was with him when you did that. And so that's your problem. That's your issue. That's not my issue. And honestly, anyone, if you can't come into agreement with money, you're not in agreement. If you're not willing to pay for and cover the needs of your wife, regardless of what those needs were and whether or not you were involved in her life at that time frame, if you're not willing to say, you know what, I've got you. We are in this together. Then to me, and this is just my opinion, then I have an arrangement with you. We are able to, you know, live together. We cohabitate. But I haven't really taken you to be my wife. Because when, as a man, when I say you are my wife, I belong to you. Everything that I have, everything that I am here to love, provide, care, shelter, protect, defend every aspect of your life, including if it means covering you financially. There's too many men not doing that. Now, in your experience, how many men do you see that being this issue, that this is my money, her money, and how much of a problem does that really create within marriages?
I see it more than I should, actually. I'm seeing a lot of people that have separate checking accounts and savings accounts, and I ask them why they do that, and they say, well, I don't want to have to argue. I don't want them to have to tell me what I can and can't do. And I stop them right there, and I say, okay, see, nobody can tell you what you can and can't do. More importantly, we have to look inward and figure out what are the things that I need and should do. And so if you're working as a team, you need to have your money together in one account. That's a bill-paying account that everybody has access to, and you're talking about it. Do that little 30-minute budget meeting once a week. The kids go to bed, sit down at the table. Look at the bills that are coming up. Talk about what's due. Talk about what other income is coming in. But get on the page. You don't want to shoulder all the burden by yourself. That's why you have a spouse. And you don't want to go it alone. You want to share in the wins and share in the stress together, but be moving in that direction and what's best for your family.
Wow. That's just so much wisdom there. Because a lot of times what ends up happening is if we're not in this together financially, because again, your money shows your patterns, your habits, and most importantly, your heart. And so when I look at that, those bank transactions, I'm showing what I'm really doing. I'm showing what's really important to me. And if you're married and you're saying, I don't want my spouse to have access to what I'm doing, I don't want my spouse to have access to see where my passion really is or whatever, then the question is, why can't you show it? What are you doing that your spouse can't see? What are you doing that your spouse can't have access to? Now, I know I'm messing with people's, you know, sacred cows, but at the end of the day, we're looking at 52 to 54% divorce rates. And most likely, if this is an issue within your marriage, most likely, you've got some other issues within your marriage, too, and you're probably not running home. You know, I love this quote, every husband should make his wife hate to see him leave, and every wife should make their husbands rush to come back home. Are you rushing to go back home? Or are you happy to go and go to work and have your other world? Are you happy when he's leaving the house? Or is your marriage literally heaven on earth? That's what I believe marriage can be that, but we've got some habits we've got to break. When we come back after the break, Chris, I want to keep digging into this thing right here because we're really digging into some real heart issues with how we're handling money and why we're sheltering and not talking in a constructive way about money. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right, bye.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy.
Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. And once again, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about some touchy stuff today, how to talk to your spouse about money. Earlier on, we heard from the Skit Guys a great skit about remembering when we first got married and the promises that we vowed to each other when we said, I do. Now, for some of you, you may have gone through this process and unfortunately may be have ended up in divorce. And there's so many men out there that are divorced from their wives, but still have children, and they want to have access and want to know, how can I still be there for my kids because I love them? Well, Coach Dungy gave us some really great tips for those of you that may be divorced and have children. You want to stay engaged with your kids. Here's what Coach Dungy says about how to stay engaged with your kids' life.
You know, statistics tell us that there are many, many divorces in our country, and while that's unfortunate, life does have to go on. And I know I talk to a lot of divorced dads as I travel around, and many times they ask me, what can I do to stay connected with my children? And the most important thing is to keep that flow of information and that contact with your spouse, your ex-spouse, and to let the kids know that you love them, even though you may not be in the home all the time, that you care about them, and they're still the most important things in your life. Talk about respect and respecting their mom, but more than anything, talk about how much they mean to you and what you can do to make them feel special. And it's not going overboard, it's not just being that person who's giving out gifts, but just being there, being available, and that emotional connect, that hey, you care about them, you want to be involved, you want to be supportive of them and their mom, and that's the big thing you can do.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Thank you once again for joining us. We've been joined by Chris Hogan, who's been giving us some great advice about how do we talk to our spouses about money. And obviously, money is a very sensitive issue, because at the end of the day, everyone goes to work to try to earn money. We try to do things so we can spend more money. We're trying to save money. And unfortunately, money has become such a pivotal a factor in today's marriages, and we want to make sure that we are able to talk constructively about it versus it only being an issue, like Chris said earlier, whenever there's a problem. And unfortunately, like we said in the last segment, a lot of times so many people have these alternative lifestyles or this mindset of I can have my account over here and this is mine and this is hers over there, and not really coming together and pulling all your resources together and saying, this is ours. If it's in my account, you have access to it. Now, that does not mean that, hey, Now, and this is, Chris, we can talk about this. After you know each other and you develop your plan, some people might be more spenders than others. And sometimes it's like, hey, listen, your name is on the account. You can see, you know, if you you have a card for the account. But when we communicate, we understand, hey, we have a budget. So you can only spend X amount of dollars a month out of this account because I know you love to shop. Or you might have to come up with your own rules of engagement where you all come into agreement saying, hey, listen, I understand your tendencies, but because we are trying to accomplish this common goal, here's our rule for how we handle our money together, and then you all collaboratively come up with that. So, Chris, is that something that could work for a couple? You know, yes, you want, I believe that, you know, a husband and a wife should have access, like you said, have a joint account, both have access to be able to see the balance of the account, have access to it in the event something happens. God forbid, if a husband has an account, he's the only name on the account, something happens to him, and then she is now can't have any access to the money because he set it up where he at. So we're talking about just make sure things are set up properly, but the actual functionality of it could be up for discussion based upon him and her and their goal. So could you help us sort of go through that process of different scenarios that you've seen work for couples?
Well, Freddie, you're absolutely right. As a former banker, if a spouse just had an account in their name only, and God forbid something happened and they were in the hospital and they needed a spouse to be able to take care of some things, they would not be able to get access to that account without jumping through a lot of hoops at the bank. And so I want people to be able to talk openly about what are we trying to accomplish together. And set up your own game. Like you said, Freddie, they can decide, okay, here's what we're going to do here and there. Here's how much we're going to spend when we eat out. Here's how much we're going to spend when we both shop. Here's some money that we both are getting each month to blow and have fun with. And I can go to Starbucks and you can go to the mall or whatever it is. But come up with your own game plan. Come up with a system that works for you all so everybody can have buy-in on this, have communication about it, and that way you have people committed to the plan. See, one person coming in and telling someone, I had one husband tell his spouse what their budget was going to be, and that did not go well, Freddie. Okay?
It didn't go well.
I
can't imagine why that wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, and I know. And he was surprised that it didn't go well. And I said, well, you didn't give her any opportunity to have discussion about it. You all didn't come up with it together. It was your plan. And so singular plans don't work, not especially when you're talking about for multiple people. Mm. So you get everybody on that same page committed to it. To me, now you have a family that's going to make some strides financially.
Now, when you're talking about marriage, there are so many people, unfortunately, there's some guys. There's a guy out there listening right now who feels like, you know what? I'm the head of my house. I'm the man of my house. This is my house. I run this, you know, her job is just to do what I say, you know, make sure I have my meals when I want it, clean my house. You know, guys, I'm sorry, this is not, you know, the 1800s, the 1700s, times are different. I really believe that marriage is intended to be a true partnership, that I'm to cherish my wife, that I'm to love her, and my assignment is to provide the very best life, not just financially, but emotionally and spiritually for her, so that she can grow and thrive and be everything that she can be. And my job is to fan that flame and help her do that. And I believe that out of that mindset of partnership, then hopefully we can dispel some of these myths that some guys have out there of trying to shelter their own thing and I'm going to give you, here's the plan of what I'm going to do, and then wonder why they keep hitting their head against the wall or wondering why their wife always has to take aspirin because she always have a headache at night. So, and some of you, headache at night, what's that mean? Y'all know what I mean by having a headache at night. She's never in the mood for you because you have not produced a culture to allow her to feel comfortable with you. And so, Chris, what is as we have 2 minutes, some parting thoughts on bridging this gap and really building a partnership in marriage, especially as it pertains to our money?
I think, Freddie, I got three tips for you. And I think if you follow these, it will begin to help people. The first one is don't generalize. Don't use words like always, you always do this, or you never do this, or I always have to do this, and I always have to do that. Be careful of those words. Because what it does is it paints a picture that it never happens except for this way. So don't generalize. Two is, don't assume your spouse is a mind reader. Don't assume that they know your hopes and your dreams. The only way someone can know those things is if you tell them. So you have to have some communication, and you want to hear their hopes and their dreams so you all can begin to stay connected and know each other. And third is, listen to what your spouse has to say. Listen to what your spouse has to say. As we talk about money, everybody, men and women approach money differently. Women look at money as a security issue. If there's not enough, then they don't feel secure and they feel threatened and they're scared. Men look at money as a challenge. We look at it as this thing that we have to conquer and we have to get. And so there's two separate mindsets dealing with this. But at the end of the day, we have children that are the product of this environment. So if women are connected with a husband and talking about money, then there is some security because we're working towards something. And men, if you're understanding and connected with your spouse, then the challenge is for you to stay connected with them and let's provide for the family for the overall legacy of the entire home.
Chris, thank you so much for the great tips and the great advice. Hey guys, listen, we are here on your side. And the biggest thing that we're trying to do is to make sure we at least start the conversation and realize, you know what? Marriage can work, marriage will work, and your marriage can be happy. Start talking to your spouse today about your vision and your plan, and let each other know how committed you are to making sure that your dreams will come true. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott. We'll be right back better than ever next week. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.